Let's foray into Nevada's wild spaces. This is a half an hour adventure with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. This is Nevada Wild.
Here on this mountaintop,
welcome to Nevada Wild, brought to you by the Nevada Department of Wildlife and 630 AM Fox Sports Radio right here in Reno. Check out our podcast at NevadaWild.org, and you can also find us on iTunes. We're bringing you news, information, and discussion about wildlife, boating, and outdoor recreation across Nevada. I'm Edwin Lingar.
And I'm Teresa Malloy.
The Nevada Department of Wildlife has been engaged in an ongoing effort in the recovery of the native Lahontan cutthroat trout. Joining us is Endow Fisheries biologist Chris Cruikshanks to talk about everything Lahontan cutthroat, as well as to update us on other kinds of trout. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for coming back again. I know this is not your first time, but let's kick this off right away. Tell us about the Lahontan cutthroat and why it's an important trout species.
Lahontan cutthroat trout is very important because it's a trout that's native to Nevada. Historically, In the Pleistocene, Nevada was covered by Lake Lahontan. As the lake desiccated, fish were stranded into high mountain streams, and most of the habitat that we have in Nevada, in northern Nevada, the northern Great Basin, at one time contained Lahontan cutthroat trout.
It was a widely dispersed species of fish. And the Pleistocene, that was like how long ago?
Like 10,000 years ago.
So 10,000 years ago, Nevada was a lake. It dried up, and the fish got stuck.
Exactly.
Is that fair?
That's...
What does this thing look like? And I know what it looks like, but give our audience an idea.
Most people aren't real familiar with Lahontan cutthroat trout or cutthroat trout in particular. Unlike rainbow trout, which are silvery and have that distinctive red stripe down it, Lahontan cutthroat trout are characterized by, they can range in color from gold to crimson to almost purple. Some of the characteristics of cutthroat trout are large round spots rather than a freckled spotting pattern like a rainbow trout. And the distinctive feature where it got its name is the red slashes underneath the jaw, which gave it its name, cutthroat.
Where was this fish normally? So the Great Basin dried out, and they were stuck in what parts of the state?
Cutthroat trout are native to the Humboldt River drainage, Carson River drainage, Upper Carson River, the Walker River drainage, and the Tahoe-Truckee River drainages of Nevada.
So the northern part of the state.
Exactly.
Okay, so there really isn't southern Nevada cutthroat original populations.
No.
Okay.
Most of southern Nevada is Colorado River system, so a lot of those streams drain into the Colorado. In northern Nevada, it's all interior Great Basin. Streams don't drain to any ocean. And most of northern Nevada is historic habitat for Lahontan cutthroat trout.
Is there anywhere else outside those areas it's ever been found, or is this it?
It's native to the northern Great Basin, which encompasses much of northern Nevada, parts of eastern California, and parts of southern Oregon.
Well, that explains why it was listed. Now, tell us about the listing. In 1970, it was listed as endangered, but in 75, it was moved to threatened. So it is still a threatened fish. And tell us about the listing.
Exactly. It was originally listed, like you said, as an endangered species in 1970, and then it was reclassified as threatened in 1975. It has remained as a threatened species ever since 1975. In Nevada, we have numerous recovery efforts to try and recover the species as a whole and move it off that threatened list.
So what kind of things caused it to be endangered and then threatened? What aided in the decline of the fish?
And let's have some stories here. What happened?
Yeah, what happened to the fish?
What happened to it? what led to the decline of Lahontan cutthroat trout? A huge thing, we're talking at the turn of last century, was habitat degradation, unregulated grazing across the landscape. When the northern Nevada was settled in the late 1800s, early 1900s, if you think about it, all the streams flow from the mountains to the valleys, and they desiccate, they dry up. When the settlers moved into the Great Basin, where did they make their ranches? At the base of the mountain, at a stream. So water diversions led to a huge decline. You've got habitat degradation, water diversions, but far and away, The biggest culprit in the decline of Lahontan cutthroat trout was the introduction, the widespread introduction of non-native trout species, predominantly rainbow trout, brook trout, and brown trout. In the early 1900s, rainbows, brooks, and browns were put indiscriminately everywhere across the landscape. Brook trout and brown trout are detrimental to cutthroat trout because they will outcompete them for food resources and space. But the big, big one is rainbow trout. Not only will rainbow trout outcompete cutthroats, but they readily hybridize with them.
Right. So then you get a mix we call a cutbow. Is that fair?
You can. For cutbows are or bow cuts are mainly used in hatchery propagation these days.
Okay.
But when rainbows and cutthroats interbreed, it results in a loss of genetic variability and genetic
uniqueness. They're no longer distinct, right?
That's exactly.
Right, so it's sort of a hybrid. And they do that readily, like naturally they can interbreed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rainbows and cutthroats will interbreed naturally on their own.
So
and you lose that genetic variability.
One of the reasons we brought you here is because there has been success in bringing, is it fair to say, a pure strain of cutthroat to some areas? What's going on with that?
Yeah, there is, and that's what we're looking for in terms of recovering the species, is genetically pure Lahontan cutthroat trout. A lot of places in the state, we have what are called remnant populations, which are populations that have been pure cutthroat. They haven't been invaded by brook trout or brown trout or hybridizing rainbow trout. They're remnant populations that have been there since the beginning of time. We conduct a lot of other recovery actions to get rid of those competing and hybridizing non-native trout and restore genetically pure cutthroat into those streams.
So they were never totally, and this is a good thing, they were never totally wiped out.
They were never totally wiped out. We had a number of populations that have held on since the beginning of time, so to speak.
Were they just remotely located? Or
exactly.
What kind of preserved those?
A lot of them are, we're talking really isolated, high mountain streams. A lot of times what preserved, you know, that unique genetically pure cutthroat was a barrier in the stream, like a natural waterfall barrier, where even if rainbow trout were put in that stream down low, they weren't able to swim upstream and invade those cutthroats.
Right. Where can you find them now?
You can find, surprisingly, Lahontan cutthroat trout in many places throughout Nevada. A lot of the streams in the upper Humboldt River system, some of the streams in the Ruby Mountains. We've got them in the Reese River drainage down by Austin. The upper Quinn Black Rock area up in upper Humboldt County, the Montana Mountains, the Santa Rosas. We've got a number of cutthroat populations that are doing really well.
And you can fish for these still. I don't want to jump into next segment, but even though it's a threatened species, they are still a sport fish in some areas.
They are classified as a sport fish in Nevada. Lahontan cutthroat trout are.
Even though they're threatened. So
even though they're threatened and under a rule in the Endangered Species Act called the 4D rule, it allows state the responsibility for management of the species while still allowing for a limited harvest of that species. So yeah, you can fish for them in most places in Nevada.
Excellent. So if a person was actually interested in fishing for the Lahontan cutthroat, do they need anything special, or do they just need to mind the regulations for how many they can take?
You just need to mind the regulations for that particular water.
For the waterway that you are on, which
exactly.
Of course they can find in our fishing regulations. Now, you'd need a fishing license and a trout stamp, though, right?
Of course. Fishing license and a trout stamp, and some waters will have different varying regulations. Just obey the regulation for that water.
For how many you can take. And a person, of course, can identify the fish if they've not seen it, because the pictures are in our regulation books of what
Certainly.
These fish look like.
I don't want to get crossways here, but I am curious. Do we ever stock these? And you know, what's our role in rearing them?
We do stock them, stock cutthroat in a number of places. We stock, we propagate cutthroat every year at our spawning operation up at Marlette Lake, up by Lake Tahoe. We take eggs, fertilize those eggs, and we do rear Lahontan cutthroats for a number of places throughout the state. A lot of our high mountain lakes in the Ruby Mountains, we put cutthroats in, and waters throughout the state. One place in particular where cutthroat trout are stocked on a regular basis is Verdi Pond at Crystal Peak Park.
Really?
Oh, and that is a nice place to go. That's a
yeah,
very fun place
It's a
place
great
to
urban
go.
Fishery, and for those people that are looking to catch a native fish really close to town here in Reno, Crystal Peak Park or Verdi Pond is stocked solely with Lahontan cutthroats.
You know, catching a Lahontan cutthroat is exciting, and I know some people specifically target these. What is the future? Is there going to be more of these? What are the anglers' response?
Most anglers are extremely supportive of our recovery program of Lahontan cutthroat trout. There's been sort of a wave afoot of people that want to catch native fish in their native habitat. And that's what we're trying to do with our recovery efforts, not just to recover the species, but to give places people to catch native fish in their native habitat.
So, and you say, before we go on our break, I want to get to this idea of a threatened species and what that really means. So you can still catch them. We're very actively engaged in managing it. Is there ever a time, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, Chris, but is there a time where they could see their numbers grow to the point where they're self-sustaining and no longer a threatened species?
That's a very interesting question. There are some very strict thresholds in the Lahontan cutthroat trout recovery plan that have to be met in order for the species to be delisted from threatened to non-listed. We're actively working. Most of our recovery efforts by the Department of Wildlife are occurring in the upper Humboldt system and the Quinn Black Rock system in the north and the northeast part of the state. In order for recovery of the species to occur, we'd have to recover the species throughout this western part of the state. If we were to do that, that'd be a tall order.
Right, because you said, as we were chatting about the show, that there are many different areas where they have to be returned to, and there's multiple, what did you call them, places, units?
Oh, we currently manage cutthroat trout in three geographical management units, or GMUs. There's the Humboldt GMU, the Northwestern GMU, and the Western GMU.
We don't want to get too technical, so that's probably enough of that. But I do want to say that this is not something that doesn't have science behind it. We always like to promote the science behind what we do. And you would say that there's a lot of planning and a lot of strategy in this?
Oh, yeah. There's quite a bit of effort throughout the state by a number of our biologists that are dedicated. We have at least two field biologists that are dedicated strictly to Lahontan cutthroat trout recovery. So we're actively returning the species to where they should be.
And that's a very exciting proposition, in my opinion.
Me too. Well, I tell you what, we're going to talk more about this because I'm fascinated, but we're up against our first break, so we're going to take that more with Chris Cruikshanks right after this.
Well, I'm long gone to Saskatchewan, long gone to Saskatchewan, where the getting's good if you're getting gone. I'm going to put my boots and my hat back on, because I'm long gone to Saskatchewan, long gone to Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Nevada Wild Podcasting and on 630 AM Fox Sports Radio. If you enjoy Nevada Wild, feel free to leave us a positive review at iTunes. If you don't enjoy the show, we'd prefer you kept that to yourself. To learn more about hunting, angling, boating safety, and the great outdoors, check us out at ndow.org. And now, back to the show.
We're back with our guest today, Endow Fisheries biologist Chris Cruikshanks, and we've been talking about the Lahontan cutthroat trout. Now, earlier in the show, we talked about how this species is no longer considered endangered but is threatened. What efforts have aided in their recovery? What are we doing in the recovery effort for this fish?
We're actually doing a lot. Like I said, we've got a couple biologists statewide that are dedicated strictly to Lahontan cutthroat trout. Our current recovery efforts are occurring in the northeastern part of the state, up in Humboldt County and Elko County. And what we do, a huge part of our jobs, is going into streams that once had Lahontan cutthroat trout and maybe don't anymore, but going in and removing those non-native trout species and coming back and restoring genetically pure Lahontan cutthroat trout.
Now, once you put those genetically pure trout back into those area when there's not the competing species, do they then make a self-sustaining population? Do they just breed and create new fish?
Exactly. Our recovery program is all on natural reproduction. We don't have an active stocking program for the recovery of the species. So we're dealing with, we'll go in and we'll chemically eradicate a stream to remove all non-native species. We'll come back and do what we call a hard plant, which is we take fish from another existing population and reintroduce them into that stream And we can do a number of reintroductions and then let it be. We will monitor it on a regular basis from there on after, but let the fish reproduce by themselves.
On their own.
Exactly.
Earlier we talked about how we use scientific management to deal with these species. How do you target the specific streams? Is it their geographical location? Do you look for specific factors in the environment, or the habitat has to be right? How do you target the place where you're going to put the fish back?
A lot of it's many of those factors, depending on land ownership, depending on location, access, all those factors go into, you tend to grab the low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, places where you could envision success, rather easily, and get those out of the way first and work on some of the more complex systems.
Right. So that would be a second step. So there are places in the state then that we're looking to reintroduce Lahontan cutthroat trout where we have not yet. Is that true? Or are we like focusing on the places where we know we can put them back in?
We're looking at all the places within their historic habitat. We're looking to restore them where they should be.
Okay, I understand that, because we did talk earlier about how almost in the entirety of the northern part of the state is a historic range for them.
Exactly. One tool that we use, like I was explaining just a minute ago, we'll go in, do some habitat surveys, some fish population surveys. This is on a stream that contains non-native fish. We'll do surveys before then. Another huge step that we do is if any portions of that stream are on private property, which historically most of them have some sort of private property, we're looking at signing safe harbor agreements, which is an agreement between private landowners and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which encourages and allows private landowners to conserve Lahontan cutthroat trout on their property. And we've signed a number of these agreements up in Elko County just in recent years, and it gives private landowners real ownership in the recovery process. So we'll sign a safe harbor agreement. Then we'll go in, eradicate, like I said, chemically eradicate the non-native species, then monitor that stream for a number of years. And if we deem the project a success, we got rid of all the non-natives, we'll come back in and put cutthroat, like I was talking about.
Right, to reestablish them. Well, this is a very big team effort. I'm glad you brought this up. All of these projects, and we've had other people on the show and talking about other projects, the landowners, the federal government, the state governments, everybody has to get in on this. I mean, it takes a lot of people to really make this a success.
It does really seem like every time we talk about recovery efforts, it's about partnerships, that the partnerships are really key in establishing or reestablishing these species and their populations.
Certainly, 100%. And that's the reason why we've had success up there in the northeastern part of the state. And that's the only reason, is the cooperation, the coordination, and the partnerships we have with our federal partner, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, with land management agencies, namely the BLM and the Forest Service, the partnerships we have with tribes, and even our NGOs like Trout Unlimited. It truly is a team effort, and that's the reason why we've had the success up there that we have.
We know that obviously Lahontan cutthroat trout isn't the only native trout species in Nevada. There's other native trout species. Are they experiencing the same kind of difficulties? What's happening with some of those?
Yeah, there are. A lot of people don't realize that there are six species of trout that are native to Nevada. There's obviously the Lahontan cutthroat trout. There's the Bonneville cutthroat trout, which is over in the extreme eastern part of the state, much like most of Nevada used to be covered by ancient Lake Lahontan. Most of Utah used to be covered by ancient Lake Bonneville. And the Bonneville cutthroat trout is a remnant of that lake. And we have those in the eastern part of the state. We also have bull trout and red band trout, which are up in the extreme northern Elko County on the waters that flow north out of the northern part of Nevada. And we've got mountain whitefish in a number of places throughout the state. And in one tiny sliver in the extreme, extreme northeastern part of the state, we have Yellowstone cutthroat trout. We have some streams,
okay,
streams up there that drain into the Yellowstone Basin. So be my plug here. We have the Native Fish Slam program in Nevada that was started just 4 or 5 years ago, which is a challenge, for some of our anglers. And you get a special certificate, but what the challenge is to catch each one of the six native trout species in Nevada, take a picture of it, and once you get all six of them, we print out a nice certificate and a hat and a pin, and it's kind of a real fun thing to do.
Yeah, and if people want to learn more about that, they can go to endow.org. There's a form on there, or it's also in our fishing regulations where they can grab the form, see what the rules are, and do that, because we've had a few people actually complete it, and it's a pretty marvelous task, I have to say.
It sounds like it takes you to every corner of the state, like to the extreme places, northeastern, but very isolated.
It really does. And back to the other part of your question just a second ago, of those six trout species in Nevada, Lahontan cutthroat trout are obviously threatened. We have bull trout in upper Elko County, the northern part of Elko County. They are also a threatened species. Of the remaining species, none of them are listed as threatened or endangered.
So does that mean that they didn't face some of those same challenges, that their original populations are pretty safe?
Yes and no.
Okay.
In the case of Bonneville cutthroat trout, that species has been petitioned for listing twice in the past 15 years or so. And both times the listing was subverted, only because of the conservation efforts states and federal agencies have done on the ground to recover and restore these species back to their native range. You know, we don't just look at a species and do recovery and restoration efforts once it's become a listed species. In the case of Bonneville cutthroat trout, we're doing the exact same things we are with Lahontan cutthroat trout, but we're doing it to keep it off that list.
Right, and I always talk to people about how that's a major part of our work here at Endow, is really managing all the wild species in our state for just these reasons, to ensure that they don't become threatened or endangered. Like, that's one of our major charges here.
Exactly, exactly.
And, you know, it's nice you can still catch some of these fish. And we haven't talked about Pyramid Lake, but we should probably mention it, that there are some really big cutthroats coming out of there. You know, this is a really important sport fish, and an important fish for Nevada.
Certainly, certainly. And I know a lot of people know about the recent history of Pyramid Lake, but for those that don't, what is now known to be the original lake strain, or the original strain of fish that used to be in Pyramid Lake, it was completely extirpated from Pyramid Lake a number of years ago. Those original lake strain fish were found up on Pilot Peak in northern Elko County a number of years ago. Those fish were then propagated in a hatchery system, and starting 8 years ago, those original lake strain fish were once again reintroduced into the lake. And every year since then, those Pilot Peak fish have been stocked into Pyramid Lake. And what we've seen so far is they seem to have a much quicker growth rate, and they get absolutely enormous. And most people around here locally, it's no secret that Pyramid Lake right now is growing some absolutely enormous fish.
I have seen those pictures.
And people come from all over the country. I have seen people out there and just talking with people, chatting to catch these kind of fish, you know, the sort of unique fishery and this unique Great Basin fish presents a great opportunity for anglers.
Exactly. Our the federal Lahontan fish hatchery down by Gardnerville, they propagate these Pilot Peak fish, and they stock them on a regular basis into Pyramid Lake. But like you said, they the buzz is really strong, and there's a lot of excitement in the fishing world for the size of fish that are coming out of Pyramid right now.
So those fish in Pyramid, though, they're stocked from a hatchery, so they grow that big in there. They're not a reproducing population.
A reproducing population.
Okay.
Last spring, in the spring of 2015, was the first documented reproduction of cutthroat trout in the lower Truckee River since they were extirpated, you know, nearly 100 years ago.
That means removed.
That means removed.
Let's.
They disappeared from the Truckee River.
So always got to keep it down to that.
Last year was the first documented reproduction in the lower river, but there was no recruitment, which means, yes, those fish did reproduce, and they made offspring, but those offspring weren't recruited into the population.
So they didn't survive.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the population in the lake is maintained from hatchery stocking.
From the stocking process.
Exactly.
Okay. But I mean, it's still a great opportunity for those who want to fish for the Lahontan cutthroat trout. They can go out there and enjoy the sport of it.
Exactly. And it's a great, great opportunity to catch not only a native fish in its native habitat, but they get really big. So
yeah.
it's a great place for people to go catch Lahontan cutthroat trout.
So talk to us about the importance of maintaining these native species. Like, a lot of times I hear people say, why do you do this? What's the importance of maintaining native species?
That's what we're tasked to do. It's the right thing to do is to maintain, conserve, and protect native species on the landscape so they don't get removed, so they don't blink out.
They don't disappear.
Right.
So they don't disappear.
And we're much more conscientious now than we were 100 years ago.
I'd like to think we're much more conscientious. You know, 100 years ago we did a lot of things that we probably wouldn't do now, like stocking of non-native trout species. So we're working to remedy some of the stuff that we did 100 years ago. And it's exciting to work with these native species.
Yeah, and I do think it's important to have them out there on our landscape. I really appreciate you joining us today. That's all the time we have. Again, Chris Cruikshanks is a fisheries biologist with NDOW. Check the Nevada Department of Wildlife website at ndow.org to learn about all things hunting, fishing, boating, and outdoor recreation. You're listening to Nevada Wild on 630 AM Fox Sports Radio and podcasting across the state. Join us next week or find us at nevadawild.org.
Join us again next week for our next adventure, Nevada Wild. It's a production of the Nevada Department of Wildlife.